ladies and gentlemen, I know this is going to be disappointing. I know from your thousands of Facebook posts and your multitude of emails that come into boozybracketology@gmail.com that you love how I start off all these episodes, but there will be no singing tonight.
Oh, thank God.
I know. That was rude. It was really rude.
If you're looking for one extra thing to be thankful for on Thanksgiving.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. We are into the round of 32 as we look to determine the best fictional band. And we had a couple of people have some scheduling conflicts for tonight that came up. So we are moving this from a best of five to a best of three. I've got three of my best friends on the line, and they're going to be making the picks tonight. So for the round of 32, we're going to start it off here in Tampa, Florida. Joel, my friend, how you doing, and what are you drinking?
Good evening, gentlemen and listeners. Thank you very much. I'm doing well. I'm starting off with just a water right now, but we'll see where the evening takes us.
We'll see. We got some questionable decisions to make, and, you know, I'm assuming we're not going to mess up the first pick, but crazier things have happened. Next up, Raleigh, North Carolina. Jeff, my friend, same to you.
I'm doing okay and working on the Lone Rider Sour Prospector from Lone Rider Brewing right here in Raleigh. It's a tasty raspberry sour. I think I've had it before on this show, but cheers.
Hey, I'll drink to that. Raspberry sour actually sounds really good and refreshing, but if it wasn't, you know, 50 degrees outside.
I think that makes it warmer in Raleigh than it is in Tampa. That's odd.
It's odd, but I'm not complaining. I'm loving the weather. Mike, the pride of Huntsville, Alabama. Sir, same two to you.
Poor Huntsville. I'm doing great. Largely because I've got this lovely bottle of bourbon here that is rather high proof. So I got really sick and frickin' tired of every single time I brought my 1910 Old Forester onto the show. Chris goes, the 1920 is better. So you know what I did? I went out and got myself a bottle of the 1920.
And
I am enjoying it.
Is it really,
really good. I don't know that I can really compare the two, but I really like them both. And this is going to knock me flat on my ass. So cheers.
I had that coming, but yeah.
Mm.
So... that is not the sound of a luscious beer. That is the sound of a Michelob Ultra Hard Seltzer.
Oh, my gosh. Slumming it tonight.
You know what? It was on sale. This is a watermelon strawberry hard seltzer, but there is zero carbs, zero sugar, and only 80 calories per can. So I'm going to just enjoy this. And we're going to enjoy making some questionable decisions. So again, we're down to the round of 32. We're doing best of three, and we are getting started. You have got our number one overall seed from the movie Almost Famous, the band is Stillwater, taking on the 8 seed from Saved by the Bell, Zack Attack. And we're starting this one off with Joel.
All right, so I've got to go with, there are two things that are guiding me today, and that is the musicianship quality, if you will, and also the ticket. I liked that a lot of people were talking about that in the previous episodes, was would I go see this band? Would I actually pay Ticketmaster a $25 service fee to go see this band, I should say. And when it comes down to this one, I got mad props for Zack Attack. They definitely held a spot in my heart back in my teen years when I was watching the original Saved by the Bell and stuff. But, man, I would rock out to Stillwater all the time. So I'm going to go Stillwater.
Stillwater's got its first vote. We're going to Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, this one's not really even a contest. One of these is a legitimately fun to listen to band, even outside of the context of its movie, which is an incredible movie. The other is a band that, I mean, you cared about because you cared about Zach and Slater, right? It's the only reason you were listening to Zach Attack. You weren't popping in a Zach Attack CD, whereas I often do grab my Stillwater EP and pop it in and listen to it, even outside the context of the movie. It's good enough and it holds up for that. So move Stillwater along.
Well, I guess I'm the only person that's a fan of bass players, because Lisa Turtle is totally my jam. Mike, we're going to you.
Well, I was going to say I primarily was interested in the Zach Attack for Kelly Kapowski. But no, of course. Zach Attack is here because they had a fairly weak, basically spinoff opponent in the first round. But even their most memorable Zach Attack episode of Saved by the Bell, at least the most memorable one for me, was the one that ended in the "it was all a dream" trope, and when like Zach wakes up and they're just about to start rehearsal. So no, it's... Stillwater is clearly the better band here, and I can't wait to talk a lot more about them as once they finally face off against a worthy opponent, because there's so much we can say about them.
And Stillwater has swept its way into the round of 32. I don't think anyone here is shocked, but we're moving on. Let's see if we can find some good competition for Stillwater in the round of 16. We're going to go with... The next pick is going to start with Jeff, and we're starting with the 5 seed from the television show Vinyl, the Nasty Bits, taking on the 4 seed from both Get Him to the Greek and Forgetting Sarah Marshall. The band is Infant Sorrow.
I mean, part of me digs the 70s sleaze of the Nasty Bits. I think they really pull off that aspect of rock and roll pretty well. But I'll be honest, I'm a sucker for the arena rock, you know. First off, Get Into the Greek was a funny as hell movie. May even be funnier than Forgetting Sarah, where Russell Brand first initiated that whole character. And even though this is a spin-off movie, it's friggin' hilarious. And Infant Sorrow, actually, like Stillwater, they have an EP out. They actually bothered to write decent songs and believable songs. They're a little bit more schlocky, obviously, and intentionally so. But they hit that soft spot in my musical appreciation that I think I just kind of give them the slight edge over the Nasty Bits, even though, you know, they're a worthy opponent, but I think I've got to vote for Infant Sorrow here.
Infant Sorrow gets a vote. Mike?
This is honestly a really great matchup. It might have actually been the toughest decision of this episode for me. These are two really great bands. They were both the focal point of their primary media that they were part of. I know I didn't vote for Infant Sorrow last time, but that was really partly to be contrarian and partly because I love Zooey Deschanel, and Munchausen by Proxy was just a little more quirky and interesting, I think. But I'm certainly not upset they moved on. I won't be upset if they move on here, but here's what it ultimately came down to me. Jeff mentioned that he's a sucker for the arena rock, and so am I, but I'm also a sucker for that raw punk energy. And Nasty Bits is the one that leaves me wanting to hear a little bit more. Infant Sorrow, there's a little too much polish for me, whereas Nasty Bits is a little bit grittier, which I like. And that also puts me in the fortunate position of not having to make this decision and leave it in Joel's hands. So I'm going to give Nasty Bits my vote here.
1-1 tie. Joel, you're going to cast the deciding vote. The choice is yours.
Oh, I hate you all for doing this to me. Okay, so I'm probably going to contradict myself later on in this episode as well, but when I was thinking about the two of these, I agree it was kind of a tough matchup. I started to think about like some of the, I guess I'd call it satire bands that I've heard. Like take Tenacious D, right? Their songs aren't directly jokes, but they do have kind of a kiddingness about them that is kind of underlying, or another band that's like that a lot is Steel Panther, right? That's bringing back the full on 80s hair metal kind of thing, and they're doing it well, but it's still almost a mockery of the throwback kind of deal. I kind of feel the same way about Infant Sorrow. The first time listening to them, they're tongue in cheek. I like them a lot, all that kind of stuff, but I don't know if I'd listen to it on repeat. You know what I mean? I don't know if a year later I'd still be listening to the album. Whereas Nasty Bits, on the other hand, I feel like I'd be doing that. They're more, I guess, genuine to the time, genuine to the sentiment of the early 70s punk rock that's coming out and just starting to take hold there. So please don't kill me, the other guys that are missing. I'm going to go Nasty Bits.
And with that, the Nasty Bits are moving on to the round of 16. They'll be facing off against Stillwater. I am not drunk. I am just having problems with words tonight. We are moving on, though. Mike, you're kicking us off, and your choices are between the sixth seed out of this region of the bracket from the Goofy movie, It's Powerline, or the three seed from Scott Pilgrim versus the World, Sex Ba-Bomb.
Well, speaking of the guys that couldn't be here tonight, I do feel a little bad for Steven, because I know he's riding the power line train all the way to the finals. I do wish he could be here tonight, because I don't know that Powerline's making it past Sex Ba-Bomb. It's certainly not for me. Sex Ba-Bomb's just much more my jam. It's closer to my style. And again, you know, we talk a lot about which one of these we want to see in concert. Well, I'd much rather see a scrappy lo-fi band with a distorted acoustic guitar playing to 100, 200 people in a small club than I would sit far away in an arena and probably watch Powerline on the big screen instead of the stage, because I can't see that far. I'm just a rock guy. It's just more my style. So Sex Ba-Bomb's going to get my vote here.
All right, Sex Ba-Bomb, guys, his first vote. Next pick is going to Joel.
This is kind of really a tough one for me, too. I don't feel like being the dick that passes one on, so I'm going to go Powerline to you, Jeff.
We get a one-to-one tie. Oh, Jeff, you're going to piss about half the audience off here. Are we moving Sex Ba-Bomb or Powerline onto the Sweet 16?
Well, I mean, I think most of y'all who listened to the previous episode, the first episode here, know how this vote's going to go, because I was not a super big fan of Powerline then and am not now. But I wanted to kind of pause and have us think about another axis upon which we're making these decisions, and that is, do I actually care about the band in the movie or in the show, right? You care about the people in Sex Ba-Bomb when you're watching Scott Pilgrim. You know, you care about the relationship between the drummer and Scott, the bassist, and, you know, the singer gets some meaty parts as well. It's all like you care about their development as a band. You're invested in those musicians. Powerline is something of a MacGuffin in the Goofy movie. He's there. He's just kind of performing. He's not really given anything except for advice to move the plot of the movie forward. So, okay, wonderful. But you're not emotionally invested in the success of a Powerline concert the way you are in the success of a Sex Ba-Bomb concert. There are obviously a lot of other reasons why I would be voting for Bomb here. The music's better, the movie's better, the just everything is better. But I think that particular framework is worth thinking of, not just for this matchup, but for future matchups as well. So just kind of throwing that one out there. Anyway, yeah, move Sex Bob-omb on. Sorry, Steven.
Sex Bob-omb is moving on to the round of 32. Leah, it's going to be okay. If we listen to each other's hearts, we're going to find that we're never really that far apart. So I preemptively bought you chocolate at that home. At that home, it's in the cupboard. So, you know, come on home, have some chocolate. You'll be fine. But we are bidding adieu to power line in the round of 32. We are moving right along. The next pick is the last pick out of this portion of the bracket, this quadrant of the bracket. You've got the 7 seed, the appropriately named Drive Shaft from the TV show Lost, taking on the 15 seed from the movie Freaky Friday. The band is Pink Slip. This pick, we're starting with, let's go to Joel.
All right. I just wanted to verify what year Lindsay Lohan was born and what year Freaky Friday came out, so I can make appropriate comments on that movie. She was 17 in there, so I'm just going to say musically. this is tough because Drive Shaft, I could only find one song for them, and it wasn't even in the show. The whole kind of titular thing was that it was, you know, he was just, that was the backstory of a character, whereas Freaky Friday, the whole thing is about, you know, the band and learning to get together and all that kind of stuff, wrapping up at the end. So, although I can't stand all the fake playing in it, that really drove me nuts. I've got to go with Pink Slip on this one.
Pink Slip picks up its first vote. The next vote is going to Jeff.
This was an interesting one and probably the most difficult one of this episode for me, just because you have so little to go on, right? Yeah, as Joel mentioned, the entire point of Drive Shaft is that it's kind of the one-hit wonder that drives, if you will, Charlie's character forward. And Pink Slip has the concert from Freaky Friday, and musically, yeah, you're which song is better, right? And yeah, I think you do care a little bit more about Pink Slip. I think the fake playing doesn't necessarily bother me quite as much as it does Joel, but I mean, it would be nice if they did play their own instruments, but you know, not everybody has Peter Frampton telling you to teaching you how to play guitar in 3 months the way that Billy Crudup did for Almost Famous. So, you know, it is what it is. Anyway, I like the Pink Slip song slightly better than I like the Drive Shaft song, so it's just ultimately going to have to come down to that, isn't it?
Now, Pink Slip has a 2-0 lead. It's moving on to the Sweet 16, but I want to hear from Mike.
Well, every bracket needs a Cinderella story, right? Not a whole lot to add. I voted against Drive Shaft last time, but that was mostly due to marital obligations. I really do enjoy the one song, You All Everybody. I think it's a cool jam. But I think I got to also vote for Pink Slip, even though, you know, they're basically carved out of the Avril Lavigne mold. But there's just enough of a little bit of edge that pushes them slightly more towards there's certain things that remind me just a little bit of bands like the Breeders and stuff like that. It makes them a little bit more interesting to me. I have an affinity for girl rockers. So it doesn't matter anyway, but I'll give Pink Slip the sweep here. Let the Cinderella story keep rolling.
Well, the Cinderella story is going to keep rolling. The 15th seed is on to the Sweet 16, and we're on to the second quadrant of our bracket. And we're going to start with the 1 seed, the Blues Brothers, taking on the 9 seed from the television show South Park. It's Faith Plus One. And this particular bracket, or this particular pick, we are starting off with Jeff.
Is there even a question here? Faith Plus One is a one-off gag, one note song sort of thing. The Blues Brothers is an absolute enduring classic, with some of the best musicians ever making cameos in it. So, yeah, I'm sure we'll talk a lot more about the Blues Brothers in future episodes, but come on, guys, no brainer. Blues Brothers.
Blues Brothers has the first vote. Mike, you're up.
We will definitely be talking about Blues Brothers for at least one future episode because they're getting my vote as well. Yeah, Faith Plus One, they're a fun send-up of a certain variety of Christian pop rock, but to borrow a phrase, The Simpsons did it first with the whole change Jesus and baby around to, you know, to make that difference between regular pop and Christian pop thing. That joke definitely, I remember hearing it on The Simpsons first. To actually see Faith Plus One in concert, no, that would wear thin really quickly. The Blues Brothers are phenomenally entertaining, and we'll talk a lot more about them in the next round.
And we will be talking more about them in the next round, but I want to hear from Joel.
Grab your broom and dustpan, gentlemen. This is a sweep. Look, I mean, Sam and Dave were the original recording of Soul Man, but when I think of it, I play the Blues Brothers one in my head. That shows, I think, the staying power of the band, of how great they are. When you've got guest artists in there like James Brown and Aretha Franklin and all that kind of stuff in the movie, that just goes to tell you how good they are.
The Blues Brothers have the sweep. They are moving on to the Sweet 16 as well. The one seeds have been uncharacteristically dominant so far in this bracket. We're going to move along. And you know, in every bracket, there's always going to be a 12-5 upset. This was ours. The 12 seed, the B-Sharps from the television show The Simpsons, taking on the 4 seed from the Star Wars universe, Figrin D'Anne and the Modal Nodes. This pick, we are starting with, oh, Mike, two of your favorites, and you're kicking us off.
You know, actually, this one was not that difficult for me. And I know you said every bracket needs at least one 12-5 seed. There's been a few exceptions to that. But most brackets have a 12-5 upset. Not nearly as many have a 12-4 upset. But for me, I go with the 12-4 upset here. This is the B-Sharps for me. I love Modal Nodes. That one song is iconic. But I think it was Steven who said it last time. It appears to be their only song. Every time they have popped up elsewhere in the Star Wars universe, I've seen them pop up in video games and different things like that, but they're always playing that song. It'd be interesting to see them live for sure, but largely because you'd be halfway across the galaxy to do it. I'm a sucker for harmonies, which B-Sharp certainly have. They're a barbershop quartet. And quite frankly, even though it's only mentioned on the show, but I kind of want to hear Homer's song about Mr. T. So I'm voting for the B-Sharps.
B-Sharps have their first vote. Joel, you're up.
Yeah, when I go back to the who would I want to see in concert, I'd have to go for the B-Sharps as well. I think their song catalog may be more intriguing, as much as I like the 20s jazz ripoff that the Cantina Band does.
And the B-Sharps have their second vote. We're bringing the next pick over to Jeff.
So on the other hand, I definitely agree with my fellow panelists. On the other hand, I mentioned that I was doing a fictional band bracket podcast thing to my 13-year-old child, and they said, "Oh, did you include the Cantina Band from Star Wars?" Nassale is a big Star Wars fan, so that's not necessarily that surprising, but it is interesting that that's the first band that popped into the head of a 13-year-old child when fictional bands were mentioned. So that at least deserves some credit. Yeah, since my vote doesn't really matter anyway, if it were a 1-1 tie, I probably would give it to the B-Sharps. But you know, just because they're clearly one of the most recognizable and well-known fictional bands out there, I'll at least give the modal nodes a sympathy vote as they shuffle on off Tatooine and back out into the galaxy.
And with that, Figurin and the modal nodes, Figurin, Dion, and the modal nodes have their mercy vote, but they have been eliminated. They will not be moving on to the Sweet 16. That spot belongs to the B-Sharps. We have got two picks left in this bracket, and I am excited to announce we are back to our five panelists. Steven, my friend, how you doing, and what are you drinking?
Well, at this point, I'm drinking Sorrows and Apology Juice. I should have been here earlier, but I completely blanked on it. So clearly, it was a communist or communist sympathizer plot to destroy this bracket without me to supervise it and fix the bad choices all these idiots have been making this whole time.
Chris, you want to tell
them? You could have saved Powerline. Actually, I don't think you could have because I think that one was 3-0.
Wait, you fucking kidding me? We lost Powerline? I'm hanging up again.
And we're back to 3. But so this is how the rest of this is going to go. We've got two picks left. Steven, you become our fourth panelist, and that means yours truly gets to be the fifth panelist.
God help us all.
We are all screwed because I love music. We are starting off the next pick here with Joel. Joel, you are choosing between the 11 seed from the television show Gilmore Girls, Hep Alien, or the 3 seed from Wayne's World, Crucial Taunt.
All right. Let me double check the room. Nope, wife is not here. Okay, I got two words for you. Tia Carrera. Yeah, I know you like Lisa and all that, but obviously hottest bass player in my opinion, Crucial Taunt for the first vote.
Crucial Taunt picks up its first vote. The next vote is going to Jeff.
Well, while Joel clearly makes decisions based on criteria formed by other parts of his body, I'm going to go with the heart here. And just like I did in the last round where I recognized, okay, one of these bands is actually better and makes better music, but I care about Hep Alien. I care about those people. I want them to succeed, even if they're a mediocre small-town bar mitzvah band. I mentioned earlier in the episode that one of the things I realized that I was deciding on was how invested emotionally am I in this band? Do I care about the musicians in it as the show or movie or whatever progresses? And so I think that's why I have to vote for Hep Alien here as well. I care about them more. I want them to succeed more. Crucial Taunt is, I mean, maybe a little bit less of a MacGuffin than Powerline was, but I think you're not as invested in those musicians the way you are in the careers of, so to speak, of the folks in Hep Alien. So give them my vote.
Hep Aliens tied it up 1-1. Next pick goes to Mike.
I love the criterion of which one do I care about more. Unfortunately, I just never watched the Gilmore Girls. So for this one, I really purely do have to go on the music. And Crucial Taunt, you know, is the better band. Obviously, they're crafted to be two different things in their particular show or movie. So I mean, that's just what it is. But I do think that you do get invested in Crucial Taunt in Wayne's World because it's this interesting thing about, you know, you want her to succeed, but you know, and you know she's talented, but she's also basically being, you know, sexually harassed by the guy that she wants to be her manager. So you're really rooting for her. And, you know, and then you want them to have that big concert in the you know, in Wayne's basement where they somehow manage through weird things to get the thing broadcast directly to the limo of the big time producer and stuff like. But no, I really do think that in addition to being the better band, you do have a little bit of an investment. I don't think they're necessarily a MacGuffin. Again, yeah, as Joel said too, it is really, really awesome to watch Tia Carrera play bass and sing and just be awesome. So I'm voting for Crucial Taunt here.
Crucial Taunt's got its second vote. Steven, you're up.
Well, let's see. If we're talking about going to concerts, the concert that's most likely to put me in the midst of a bunch of, you know, late 30s, early 40s women that are trying to recapture their youth in one night of glorious passion, that's got to be the one that's associated with the Gilmore Girls. So there is that going on for them.
He's 10 days away from getting married.
I know. I was thinking the same thing.
I know. Exactly. I've got 10 days to seal this up. No, I guess you make a good point. I'm getting married, so I'll go with the better band. Way to kill my buzz there. I'm going to go with Crucial Taunt, Wayne's World.
Crucial Taunt picks up its third vote. It's moving on to the round of 32, but not round. Wow, the round of 16, but not before yours truly gets to say his piece. And honestly, only one of these bands wails. Crucial Taunt, like, that's an iconic part of my childhood. Wayne's World, I remember this. I first saw Wayne's World when my parents used to take us, like, once a week, we'd be able to get McDonald's. And this is back when McDonald's was selling VHS tapes through the drive-thru. And we ended up getting Wayne's World and Adam's Family. And ironically, I got a crush out of one of those. And that was Christina Ricci from Adam's Family, because I'm in the same age range. But Wayne's World was an awesome, awesome movie. And that band was really freaking cool. I would line up to this day to see Crucial Taunt play. So 4-1 victory for Crucial Taunt. We are moving on to our last pick of the evening. The 10 seed from the Big Lebowski is Audubon. The 2 seed from the new version of A Star Is Born, it's Jackson Maine and Alley. And this pick starts off, with Jeff.
Well, one of these bands doesn't have a song. One of these bands does. Can I vote for the band that doesn't have a song? Only if Nihilist. But fortunately, that band is a bunch of nihilists. They believe in nothing, Mr. Lebowski. I guess I kind of believe in nothing, too. So I'm going to give my vote to Audubon because fuck it. Let's go burn down a bowling alley or something.
And with that, Audubon picks up its first vote. Mike, you're up.
You know, I really do. There is honestly a part of me that does want to vote for Audubon just to keep the nihilist band without a song thing rolling. And because that is in accordance with what I believe Donnie's last wishes would have been, but I can't do it. Jackson Maine and Alley, they've got the chops. They've got the better songs. They have songs, and they're just, they have talent. They're great to listen to. And they've also had, I think I said it last time, but you know, they're Academy Award winners. It's crazy. Like, it's, they're just, the entire movie is centered around that band and around those artists, I should say, and their trials and tribulations. And you do root for them and you do care about them. So yeah, Jackson Maine and Alley are getting my vote here.
Tied up 1-1. Steven, break that tie.
Yeah, say what you will about the tenants of Jackson Maine and Alley, at least they have an ethos. I could vote Audubon over the Weird Sisters because the Weird Sisters isn't really a band as far as I care. But Jackson Maine and Alley are a band with some really, really good singing. So in all good consciousness, I'm going to go with A Star Is Born here.
Jackson Maine and Alley pick up their second vote. Next vote goes to me. And I'm happy to say we're going to move Jackson Maine and Alley along. I love The Big Lebowski. That movie is phenomenal. But there's just something really magical about that scene when Jackson Maine forces Alley to come out on the stage and sing with him. And you hear her just hit that note. it's goosebumps to this day. I don't like the way that movie went, but that scene alone, and that I would pay to see those people sing. So Jax Mannally, get the third vote, but I want to hear from Joel.
When you Google Autobahn, I get three YouTube videos. The first one is a song called Kraftwerk, single edition, that is 3 minutes, 27 seconds long. The next one says Kraftwerk Full, that's 9 minutes and 38 seconds long. And then the third video is Kraftwerk Full Album Version, 22 minutes and 43 seconds long. That is a ridiculous amount for a single song. It is the same repeating things over and over again. I can't listen to it. And as I said in the last bracket before, Jackson Maine rocks your face off in the opening scene of that movie. They're going for my vote. Jeff, sorry, you were outdone for this one.
And with that, Jackson Maine and Allie seal their spot in the round of 16. That brings us to the end of the episode. So just to recap, the Sweet 16 from the left side of the bracket is going to consist of Stillwater taking on the Nasty Bits, Sex Bob-omb taking on Pink Slip, the Blues Brothers against the B-Sharps, and finally, Crucial Taunt against Jackson Maine and Allie. This is going to be an episode you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying the Boozy Bracketology podcast, a couple things. One, patreon.com/PTEBB is your exclusive home for all the bonus content. I'm not just Boozy Bracketology, but our sister podcast, The Pub Trivia Experience. Bonus content drops throughout the month. That includes bonus brackets, get to know yous, AMAs, bonus trivia, the whole nine, right there on that one site. If you're enjoying the show and you want to interact with us, Facebook is going to be the lounge for fans of Pub Trivia Experience and Boozy Bracketology. Twitter at Boozy Brackets. Instagram, Boozy Bracketology. For the Boozy Bracketology podcast, I have been Chris.
I'm Joel, and I need a drink.
I'm Jeff, and I have a drink.
I'm Mike, and I have a drink, but I probably need to go for a less strong one.
And I've briefly been Steven, and the rest of these people are all unsupervised toddlers.
No argument here, but have a good one, everybody.